Final hour on this Monday, Stillman and Company, presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Jake Lyman and Derek Mason filling in for Jared Stillman today and tomorrow. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Final hour, we just talked a little bit about Will Levis and where he could end up if the Titans do elect to move on, but we got the first look at the Titans' new starting quarterback this weekend in Cam Ward. Rookie minicamp this weekend, and we've said it throughout the show, D-Mace, that you're not getting a whole lot out of rookie minicamp. It was a clip here, a clip there. We got a few, you know, overall takeaways from some of the reporters who were out there. I know TD put together a thread. It seems like it was all positive reviews from Cam Ward over the weekend in his first experience wearing the two-tone blue. People raved about the quick release from him. It seemed like he already had stepped into a leadership role. Seems like, in terms of what you can do in rookie minicamp, which isn't much, it seemed like Cam Ward checked most of the boxes.
Yeah, he's coming in and he's learning the offense. He's coming in and it's easier, I think, for him to come in amongst the rookies. That's why they have a rookie minicamp without the veterans, because you come in, and if you come in with just the veterans, you feel intimidated because these are guys that you've been watching, you know, and older guys, you know. And so you feel a bit intimidated. Even the first round, the first pick in the draft, he's going to come in, you know, amongst all those veterans somewhat, you know, just sort of like trying to find his way. So you bring him in with the rookies and allow that leadership to sort of, you know, work its way through the rookies first. And you know, then once the veterans come in, then you can see how he proceeds and see if that same style still works. But you know, from what we're hearing, he's showing leadership, which you know I don't think anyone thought he wouldn't. You know, he's being assertive. You know, if something needs to be ran again, as you talked about in the opening of the show. He's going to say, let's do it over again. So, you know, those are the things you want to see. But I think Brian Callahan said it best, I think, over this weekend. Said, listen, he's just trying to learn the playbook right now. We're not looking for him to be some leader. We're not looking at him to go out here and yell. And no. He has to worry about himself first. Because if you ain't got yourself right, you can't try to lead, you know, 51 other grown men. You, if you ain't get your job down, because they will call you out quickly. Like, no, you need to get your stuff straight before you try to lead us. Okay, so, and that's what Brian Callahan, he needs to worry about himself now. Right now, learning a playbook, getting used to the guys, and kind of allowing your leadership to grow from that. Because the way you led in college is not going to be the same way you lead here in the National Football League. It's going to have to change and evolve, because now you're dealing with grown men with kids. So you got to evolve. This game is much different from the college game. It's still, you know, 22 people on the field at one time, but it's a much different game than it is in college. So you got to adjust to that and allow your leadership to come from there, not from what you did in college.
That's a good point. And we've heard all of the Cam Ward stories from Miami of, yeah, he was new to that locker room, but he took it over the first week he was there. Mm-hmm. But you're right. That's 18 to 23, 24-year-olds
yeah,
now.
And he's still the older guy in the locker room.
He was still 22, 23 at that point, and he had been a leader at Washington State.
Exactly.
This is different. You're walking in there with, I mean, who's the oldest guy on the Titans right now?
Man, whew. Would it be I wouldn't know. It's not Calvin.
Would Zeitler maybe?
Yeah.
Zeitler. I don't know how
he's
old.
He's the oldest. He's the oldest.
Yeah.
It has to be. Yeah. It is Zeitler.
So, you know, guy who's.
I'm thinking about the defensive line, secondary, receivers are young, running backs, Pollard, but he's young, but got some tread on the tires, but he's still young.
Kevin Zeitler is 35, so yeah, I would say
he may be the oldest person on the team outside of Morgan Cox. I think
right,
Morgan
yes,
Cox
yeah,
is the oldest, yeah.
Outside of special teams.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think defensive side of the ball. There's no one, like Xavier Woods isn't that old. He's
exactly.
a veteran.
He's just a veteran,
but
yeah,
but like,
he's
not
older.
You're walking in, Kevin Zeitler is more than a decade older than him,
yes.
And it's like, hey, am I going to listen to this 23-year-old coming into the locker room?
He has to prove himself. And that's what Brian Callahan talked about. You know, in order to try to lead other men in this profession, you got to know your stuff first. You can't put the cart before the horse. You can't try, you're the main one that's messing up. And we're falling behind because of that. No. You're a rookie. Learn the playbook. Because the faster you learn the playbook, the more comfortable you will get on this team. And the more comfortable you are, then as veteran players, we're more tend to buy into what you're doing, what you're talking about, and how you're leading. Because you're doing it naturally. You're just not trying to invent something. You're not trying to be someone else. You're yourself. And you're leading based upon that. So before he comes a lead, he has to go through a lot before he becomes the leader of this team.
I'm sure you've talked about this before, but you went through this with Joe Flacco, yep, being a veteran and having a rookie first-round pick come in there. And to the dismay of Titans fans, mm-hmm, went to the AFC Championship his first season.
So it can be done.
So what did you see from Joe as he entered that room, as he tried to establish himself?
Joe did exactly what Brian Callahan talks about. Learning your stuff first, learning that, and as you learn that, and as you learn the locker room, guys will start to follow you because guys pick up on what you're doing. Guys are watching you. Are you Lee? Are you in that meeting room long? Are you the first person here? Are you the last person to leave? Are you doing these things that leader? You ain't got to say a word. Are you just being a? Are you doing
leading by example?
Exactly. Are you doing those things as a quarterback? Because typically, listen. Quarterbacks are not the rah-rah person. They're not. Quarterbacks are never the rah-rah guy. It's always somebody on defense, or it's like a running back or somebody, or receiver. But it's never really the quarterback. Why? Because a quarterback, he has so much other stuff to worry about. Like, you can be the rah-rah guy over there. You can be that guy.
Yeah, Big Jeff, you take that.
You can take that. I do it every once in a while, but this is my team. There's a level of focus that I need to have. Not to say that throws you off, but there's a level of focus that I need to have. So I've never seen a quarterback come in. That's why I believe I can talk about it because I have knowledge of it because I experienced it. Cam Ward just need to allow it to come to him. Don't go chase it. Don't go looking for it. Let it come to you. Because it will.
Yeah.
It will. It came to you when you left Incarnate Word and went to Washington State, and it came to you when you left Washington State and went to Miami. It came. The leadership is going to come with you because it seems like he's that guy that brings it with him. So come here and let it develop here. Don't go pushing it on nobody. Just develop it, but while it's developing, learn that playbook because as a veteran guy, that's what I'm looking at. Like, do you know the playbook before you try to lead? We're going to follow you. Like, Joe, I'm going to follow you, but do you know your playbook first?
Right.
And when I mean know your play, you know it better than me.
Yeah,
because
you know
everybody.
Every single person's job is.
Absolutely. So once guys see that and see the way he sort of presents himself throughout that building, that's when guys are going to start following him. It takes time to become, even while he's winning games, people are still learning to follow him. So it's going to take some time. Even if he has success, it's still going to take time.
And who knows if it's going to translate to any wins on the football field,
exactly,
or stats, but it does seem like he has the personality, mm-hmm, that you're looking for in terms of a quarterback. We've seen both ends of the spectrum with the last two young, mm-hmm, quarterbacks. Marcus was on one end where, mm-hmm, you know, more reserved. He's not going to be a vocal leader. Will Levis is kind of the rah-rah guy, mm-hmm, where he's going to be in your face, has the big out there personality. Cam Ward, it feels like he's got the confidence, but also doesn't have to, you know, in your face,
yeah,
like show you, hey, I'm confident. It's more of a silent confidence that he has. So I think that's what you're looking for in a quarterback. Again, who knows if it's going to translate into success on the field, but I think that's a lot of the reason why the Titans liked him was that, you know, silent strength that he brings.
Yeah, he brings this confidence that I think the organization really is impressed with. He brings the professionalism with him that they believe in. So they believe that every stop that he's had has been a situation where he has grown as a player, and he stepped up each time. I think all of that together is why they chose to stay at that number one spot, because they truly believe, like they believe he's the guy. I really do believe they, in their mind, like all of them, there's not like a, I think they all believe that he is the guy.
And if you turn down like that Neo trade package, like you kind of have to believe he's like the guy.
Neo. He's Neo right now. I mean, he's the guy. I mean, nobody else is questioning. Well, Jared may be questioning it, but he's the guy.
Right.
There's always that one guy, because even in Matrix, there was that one. He can't do it. No. What do you
He's not the chosen one.
What do you make me think he's the chosen one? He is. So that's how the Titans are like the panel. Like, we believe in him.
You gotta operate like that. If you're going to pick that guy number one overall and turn down all those picks the Giants offered,
oh yeah,
he's got to be the guy. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Cam Ward making his debut over at St. Thomas Sports Park over the weekend. We're recapping it and looking at the reaction to Cam Ward's first couple days on the field. We'll come back, keep talking about it. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, filling in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
And then being in a new situation, you have a familiar face in Xavier Restrepo. How much, like, will that help you get settled in?
I don't think he'll help me get settled in. I've knew him for a whole year now. It's me more, you know, opening up to my new teammates and, you know, them getting a chance to know me. And so, you know, I know him X. I already have a connection with him. I got to connect, you know, pieces with my other guys.
That was Cam Ward after rookie minicamp on Saturday. Asked about Xavier Restrepo and his relationship with him. And I thought that was a phenomenal answer from Cam Ward. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in for Jared Stillman today on Stillman & Company. I love that answer from Cam Ward. And it may not be true that maybe he is going to, you know, just maybe even like a subliminal, just kind of a little bias towards the guy that he knows. Maybe the ball is going to find Xavier Restrepo a little bit more. But one of the concerns that Jared's brought up with signing Xavier Restrepo is you gave him a little buddy in the lunchroom. And is he going to connect with the other teammates who actually are going to be getting impact snaps for this team this year? Seems like Cam Ward knows, like, hey, I already know Restrepo. I need to get to know all these other guys.
Yeah, see, that's you know, if this is not elementary where you walk in and your buddy's there, and then it's like, oh, I got my buddy. Now I'm just going to hold on to my buddy, me and my buddy. It's just going to be us two.
As long as you got one.
Exactly. Maybe we make some other friends, but I got my buddy. It's not elementary, man. That's not how quarterbacks work. Listen, you earn the right to be a number one receiver. You earn the right to be a quarterback's favorite target. You earn the right to be a part of the progression within the pass play. You earn that right if he throws it to you first or if he throws it to you second, depending on how the defense is playing. That's a right you earn. Just because we had a good connection in college doesn't mean, like, all of a sudden now I'm just going to bypass everything and sort of cater to you. Now, if you're on the field and you are a part of the progression, and if you've proven, you know, in this league that you can go out there and give me some consistency at you know, at that position, then, yeah, you're going to become a part. If I can't hit him, it's not like Calvin Ridley is the first choice, but because Restrepo is out here, Xavier, I'm going to throw it to him.
Tunnel vision.
Exactly.
On
no. That's not how this works, man. That's my first option. That's my second one.
Right.
I get back to him. Or if they blitz, I know he's a hot. If he knows that, I'm going to hit him. Now, he better catch it, because if I throw it once, he don't catch it, eh, I'm going to be a little iffy to come back to him. But he's not going to go out of his way to try to throw extra footballs.
Yeah, force feed Xavier.
Exactly.
Xavier Restrepo.
He has a job to do. He understands that in Miami, Restrepo was his guy. He was his number one target. But that was at the University of Miami. Last I checked, the University of Miami isn't in the NFL. Miami Dolphins is, but not the University of Miami.
Same stadium.
Exactly. Same stadium, but not same players or coach. So he understands now that just because he was my main target there doesn't mean he's going to be the main target here. I got Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett. I got other guys that have proven they can catch the football. If you prove in this league that you can, I'm going to get it to you. I do. It's good that I do have a relationship with you. I know that, but I am not going to, you know, throw away or disregard what the coaches are teaching me just to get the ball to Restrepo. You know, now, hey, listen, the play may break down. I may look for you now because now I'm in this phase outside of what we're doing as an offense.
Right.
This is we're playing backyard ball. Now and I make look for you.
Yeah, because you know what I want to do, and I know what you want to do.
Absolutely. But outside of that, no, I'm not. I'm not trying to circumvent the system just to go to you. No, it doesn't work like that, Jared, or anybody else.
Yes, I think Cam Ward was less trying to get Xavier Restrepo on the team because he's his friend, mm-hmm. more because he thinks he's a good football player.
Yeah, he thinks he's a good player. I don't think Cam doesn't come across as a guy. If he didn't, and listen, Restrepo, watch the tape. He's a good player.
If you watch exactly. Cam Ward's film, you're going to see a lot of Xavier exactly. Restrepo.
He's going to show up. He is a good player. That's why he was putting in the word. That's why he was vouching for him. Because he's like, listen, how do you think some guys get drafted? And I'm not saying because the incoming quarterback vouched for him. But how does sometimes – because that scout over there that nobody really talks to, he really paid attention to that guy. I was like, man.
Stood on the table for
him.
Yeah,
this guy, man, he's going to – it happens sometimes like that. But in this case – it was your quarterback. Why? Because as I'm watching Cam, I see him, and then Cam comes back and say, man, you see this guy's a good player, don't you? So don't disregard the 4.8 40. He's a damn good player. So we'll be able to find that out once we get to camp. But he's not going to circumvent the offense just to try to get the ball to Restrepo.
Right. And we've said low risk, high reward with Xavier Restrepo. You didn't use a draft pick on him. It's not like you had to pay him $5 million. You're getting him on a UDFA contract. If he makes the team, great. If he doesn't, maybe you get him on the practice squad. If not, who cares? It's not like you picked this guy in the second round. He is about as low risk as you can possibly get, and we'll see if that connection with Cam Ward ends up paying off.
You got a really good shirt. A really good one.
Yeah.
From the Goodwill.
Right. An All-American shirt.
Yeah, a shirt that listen, this shirt it's going to last you a long time, but you got it at a bargain price.
Right.
Basically free.
Yeah, you went
for
to
– whatever reason. Maybe it was worn a little bit too much. I don't know. But for whatever reason, you got it for cheap. Not to say that – I'm just making a comparison.
Yeah.
But you got a damn good player.
You know, you went to the mall and you got your Ward and your Oladejo and all those. But then you're like, hey, let's stop by Goodwill on the way home. Yeah. Oh, that's a great shirt.
Great. Ooh.
Xavier Restrepo.
Okay. That can go with the suit that I just there bought. There we go. Cam Ward.
It works. It works. Hey, that could be – it's the little undershirt that goes underneath the nice button-down that I just got in – Alec Ayamaner. I cannot say that name right. Alec Ayamaner. It's the one name I cannot get right.
It's the Ayamaner.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Quickly, before we go to break, we've got a couple of texters just randomly talking about the banana ball game at Nissan Stadium.
I saw it on X.
Yes.
The whole fiasco that was going on.
It was Cam Ward's first time in Nissan Stadium, at least first time in front of a crowd in Nissan Stadium. Mm-hmm. Andrew from Dover says, D-Mace, your former teammate, the Freak, Javon Kearse was out there too. He said he looks like he could still go out there and make some plays.
He probably could. Shoot. He works out for a living now.
Yes.
He stays in good shape.
He looked ripped out there.
He stays in good shape, so... Yeah, you can go out there. But was it at Nissan?
It was at Nissan.
It seemed like it was packed.
Yeah,
like,
70,000 people.
Okay. What is the deal with this,
It's like the circus.
Is it a baseball team?
So it is, but it's like the Globetrotters a little bit. Uh-huh. But the games aren't decided beforehand. Like the Washington Generals can win too.
Oh, okay.
So they play the party animals. And it's like there are all these different rules. I know it's like if a fan catches a foul ball, uh-huh. it's an out. I know that's one of the rules. It's
for who? Both teams?
Yeah. So like if the Bananas hitter hits a foul ball into the stands uh-huh. and a spectator catches it, you're out. And they do a bunch of TikTok dances and stuff like that. They played Rocky Top and stuff. I don't know, but 70,000 people out there at Nissan Stadium.
What is the deal with these banana? What is it, the banana?
The Savannah Bananas.
Yeah, Savannah Bananas. Man, they are a walking circus, ain't it?
It is a circus. The circus came to town.
But are they a minor league team?
No, so they used to be a collegiate summer league team.
Oh, okay.
In the Coastal Plains League, and they've turned into a traveling circus, basically.
So they play anybody.
They play baseball, and they just go around, and they play the party animals, and I think there might be some other teams they're making. Who knows? But Cam Ward made all 9 draft picks made their debut in Nissan Stadium on Saturday night. I saw some tweets saying they shouldn't get used to that crowd. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your text coming up next. Talking some Cam Ward as we get close to the end of the show here on this Monday. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, in for Jared Stillman. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, the game. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, the game. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, filling in for Jared Stillman. We're with you today. Also tomorrow from 3 to 6 as we mix up the schedule a little bit here on 102.5 with Jared out of town. It'll be Joe Rexroad, Paul Kaharsky. That should be fun on Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 6.
Is that what you call that? Is that
fun? So I won't
your
be
idea
here.
Of fun is like, oof.
I won't be here, so it'll be fun for me.
Fun to listen.
Yes, Reed, I'm sorry about that.
Reed's nah.
I thought I ditched Kaharsky years ago, and here we are.
He's back like Jason Voorhees.
Reunited.
It's like a fungus.
Yes, reunited on Wednesday. And then Thursday, it'll be me and Adam from 3 to 6 as D-Mace gets back with Willie Donick, I believe, closer to your guys' regular time. I think you guys are noon to 3.
Yeah, what, Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday, yeah, we're noon to 3, still a 3-hour show.
And then back to the regular schedule on Friday.
On Friday.
As Jared returns from...
graces us with his presence.
Where is Jared? Just random
Jared,
place,
I mean,
in the
just
world.
Just throw a dart, man.
Jared's
that's where
in,
Jared will be.
Yeah.
Just throw a dart. That's where he'll be.
He'll be back on Friday. Let's get to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 9055 on our text line says, to me, it's a positive that everyone in the front office is on the same page with Ward. For those who weren't here with the whole Vince Young fiasco, that's not what this team needs right now. Back in the day, Bud wanted Vince Young. Jeff Fisher wanted Matt Leinart. Floyd wanted Cutler. Owner obviously wins, and how did that end up? So it is good that everybody's on the same page, but that also means that, you know, if Cam Ward isn't very good, that everybody's probably leaving.
Yeah, Cam Ward's not good. First, Brian will be gone,
yeah.
And then Borgonzi and Brinkert. They'll be gone. But I think this young man, I think, they truly believe in him. They truly believe they got their number one quarterback,
yeah,
their franchise quarterback. Now, again, you know, franchise quarterback can mean several different things. You know, it can mean just a guy. He may not necessarily turn out to be an elite quarterback, but he's a quarterback that is winning you a bunch of games. And you are each and every year with him underneath center gives you an opportunity. Because you know that you're going to field a good team, you're going to be in the playoffs, and then from there, anything can happen. So, you know, I think it's going to work. I think they feel good about him. They just got to continue to surround him with good players. And we've been talking about the wide receivers and, you know, how they're going to play a critical role in his development and how many of these guys out of the 9 or 10 that are here, you know, who's going to be the top 5 or 6,
yep,
you know, on this team. So there's a lot of questions that are going to be answered pretty soon. But, I think they feel good with who they drafted, Cam Ward. And I think they're starting to – the way they're talking about guys, I think they're starting to feel good about, you know, how they are positioning themselves as far as their roster. Because, again, you know, we're talking about the rookies, and this team is only going to go so far, I think, as these rookies help take them. They're going to have to, because it seems so young and the depth is not there.
Right.
They're going to have to help. Like, last year's class helped. Devondre Sweat was a big help for them. Brownlee was a big help for him because he had to come in and play right away. You know, so they gained that experience. The year before, McQuarrie was a big help for them. I think that was his rookie year or 2 years,
yes,
prior to that.
Yes, he was, yeah, the same draft as Burks.
Yeah, so that year he was a big help. Why? Because he was a big plus because he helped contribute you know, to the team, especially when guys started getting hurt. So this year can't be any different. If the Titans are going to have success, I think these younger guys are going to have to be key parts of it because of the lack of depth that this team have, especially when you're talking about veteran leadership.
Right. This was a draft for the new stadium. It's like that's when they want these guys to start hitting their primes is 2027. Is that's when you hope Cam Ward is ascending as one
They're
of the top quarterbacks. You hope Femi Oladejo becomes your top edge rusher by then. I don't know if they're going to be that this year, but you hope, you know.
You hope it's trending that
right,
way.
Right, that they take the necessary steps so that you open that new stadium in 2027 and you feel like, okay, this team could take the next step in the next couple of years. Speaking of which, Chase and Big Joe, I thought, had a good conversation before us about what rookie quarterback records in the Titans franchise could Cam Ward break. And I think it's good to set some reasonable expectations for your rookie quarterback. Here are the rookie quarterback records for the Titans. 3,338 yards, 19 touchdowns, 371 passing yards in one game, four passing touchdowns in one game. We talked about it on Friday. I really hope he doesn't throw four passing touchdowns in his first game. That doesn't seem...
Well, I mean, if he does it, I hope he continues, like...
It doesn't seem to be a good indicator for career success.
Yeah, Marcus did it. Then
Levis did it.
Levis did it. Neither one. Well, Marcus did have some success.
He did.
It just wasn't prolonged success. You know, he had that one really good season, and for whatever reason, he just couldn't build on that.
It was 16 that he was. I thought 2016. There was a 10-week stretch where Marcus Mariota was playing MVP level football.
He was good,
and then he broke his ankle, and he was just never the same.
No.
He was never the same after that. I think I feel pretty confident in saying that Cam Ward is going to throw 20 passing touchdowns this year.
Well, they're going to in theory, yeah, because the 20 touchdowns, you think like, man, that's like a little
over one a game.
Yeah, that's easy to, but it's hard to do, man. It is hard to do. Listen, I think there are obviously, you know, the quarter, meaning the receivers are going to help that. Brian's play calling is going to help that. I think, you know, how Cam Ward learns this offense and how quickly he learns this offense will dictate that. Now, listen, he may get 20 touchdowns. Why? Because they're down, you know, 21 points every game in the fourth quarter. So things are lax and he's throwing touchdowns. I don't want him to get over 20 touchdowns that way because they're losing more games than not. You really don't see the I guess you can see some developing in there, but is it developing or is it just the defense just sort of lax because they're up so many points? I would tend to say, based on, you know, getting that 20 touchdowns, having those records, that is a possibility. But if it doesn't happen, I still want to see development in because they may go to a more run-heavy team as they're developing a quarterback and play really good defense. And, you know, I think Joe, his first year, he may have had 20 touchdowns, because we were a run-heavy team. I think he may have 20 touchdowns. I know he had like 12 interceptions, something like
that. He had only 14 touchdowns his rookie year. 12 interceptions.
So we were a run-heavy team. And we played defense because we wanted to bring him on slowly while he was going to start. So it was time on task what he was doing.
Joe Flacco only had one season where he had more than 25 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Which, but.
But you were.
He was consistent.
Yeah, but you're talking about, you know, an organization prior to Lamar Jackson. They were and they're still somewhat a run team, even with Lamar Jackson. They still love to run the football, but they have an explosive passing game. They can throw the football, too. But football has – things have changed. So when you say 20 touchdowns for Cam Ward, yeah, but I don't want it to be – I would rather win games and him develop than him to just throw 20 meaningless touchdowns.
I will say Mason Rudolph and Will Levis threw 22 combined last year. So – if the offense is better than that, you would think he might throw 20.
If he's in the lineup for the whole season, you would think he should throw
right.
One
I think a lot of it has to do with does he stay healthy?
Exactly.
And that'll be a key to it. Kevin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Mariota, he threw his four touchdowns in the first half. Yeah, that was a fun game. And then the Titans went 2-13 the rest of that year on the way to the number one pick. Another texter, 8586, says, what if he throws for three and runs for one? Deal. I'm in for that. If he does that in week
throw
one.
Throw for two or run for two. And run for two.
You can get four total. They just can't be four passing touchdowns. That has not gone well.
That is outlawed.
For the Titans franchise. Yeah. I hope
Calvin Ridley, you're about to catch that fourth touchdown, drop it.
Yeah, if he throws three, Brian Callahan, just throw out all of your passing plays for the rest of the game.
Run the football.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for calls and texts as we wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason filling in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, the game. Final segment on this Monday. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063, the game. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason filling in for Jared Stillman. Again, we'll be back tomorrow, 3-6. Same lineup as today, tomorrow. So if you tuned in, didn't see the tweets, and were confused as to why Chase and Big Joe were on in the afternoon and why Jared's not on, Jared's on vacation. So lineup switched up a little bit. It'll be Robbie and Rex Road 6-9. Adam and Willie 9-noon, Chase and Big Joe 12-3, and then D Mace and I will wrap up the day 3-6 again
tomorrow.
Hey,
reverse it out here.
Yes.
The station is versatile.
Yes, we can move around.
Yeah, fluid.
Yes, and Wednesday and Thursday, if you're tuning in and you're confused now, Wednesday and Thursday are going to throw you through a loop because it gets a little more confusing. But we're going to have some fun. Jared will be back on Friday, and he'll get back to the normal schedule. Wrapping up the show here. Talked a lot of football today. Big event tonight in basketball. The NBA draft lottery is tonight.
Yes,
and it's an important one. Not as important as 2 years ago when Victor Wembanyama was up for grabs. Mm-hmm. Last year kind of felt like a dud where there wasn't really a true bona fide number one pick. But Cooper Flagg is up for grabs today. And a lot of teams are going to be vying for his services. I believe the Wizards, the Hornets, and the Jazz. Is that the three who have the best odds? Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
And neither one of them are going to get it.
Well, yeah, it could be a lot of different teams.
Like the Predators.
Right. Yeah. The NHL lottery, the way they did that, I like that they did it in front of everybody and like televised the balls being pulled, actually. Mm-hmm. But it was funny. They had the 30-second countdown, and then they're like, all right, before the last ball, we're just going to go to commercial. I'm like, well, that kind of ruins the integrity of this whole thing.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense.
But here are the teams who could end up with the number one pick. Again, Utah, Washington, and Charlotte have the best odds. New Orleans, right there, and I know there's rumors they might trade Zion Williamson. The last time they won the lottery was when they took him. Philly, up there at a 10% chance, Brooklyn 9%, Toronto 7.5%. So those are the top half. San Antonio's at 6%. And, man, if the Spurs are able to win again and pair Wembanyama with Cooper Flagg, you know, they've got some magic going on down there.
Man, that wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't be fair.
That wouldn't be fair. You're bringing back reminiscences of David Robinson
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan,
yes.
Yeah, I know Flagg isn't like a low post player,
right.
But you got the big fella. You got essentially, back then it was two low post players. Now you would have two guys that can play any position.
Right, they would probably be your four and your five,
exactly.
But they play like point guards.
Yeah, they can play point.
So,
and everything else. So.
I mean, the Spurs, you already had your dynasty. You don't need to get it.
The Spurs trying to get it back, man.
I'm a Suns fan, and they can't win it. Well, they can win it, but they'd give the pick to the Rockets. So,
too bad.
Because they traded all their picks for Kevin Durant.
That didn't work out.
I'm being from the DMV. I wouldn't mind seeing Washington win it.
The Wizards, man, goodness.
Well, I mean, the Wizards fans have gone through it.
Nobody wants to see the Washington Wizards win anything, man.
There are Wizards fans. This is breaking news.
I've got friends who are Wizards fans.
I've never heard somebody say I'm a Wizards fan.
I remember growing up, and I wasn't a big Wizards fan, but going to the games in Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, Antoine Jameson,
they had some good teams.
They had some decent squads up there.
But nobody said outside of the DMV, I don't think anybody ever screamed.
No, that is true. That is true. And the last time they won the lottery, I believe, was for John Wall.
Was it?
Back in the day. So we'll see.
I was about to say Kwame Brown. No.
Yeah. No, they
Isn't
got
that the last time they won a lottery? Nah.
They got John Wall, who, I mean, by all accounts, John Wall was going to be a superstar. And he was a great player for a long time. But
his knees and stuff?
His injuries it kind of derailed his career. Charlotte would also be fun. It's been a while since the Hornets have been competitive.
Have they ever been competitive? I guess they were at one point.
Since the Bobcats, but back in the day, before the Hornets moved to New Orleans,
That's when they had the success. There were
good teams there, but since the Bobcats era, I can't remember.
Yeah, Charlotte, I'm trying to think, man. Gosh.
I mean, I'm sure they've had some like playoff
Larry Johnson?
Teams, but
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Grandma Ma.
That's the last. Go back that far.
Yeah. I mean, they had one of their early players like Emeka Okafor was there out of UConn.
Right.
So
who
knows? Going to be fun. That'll be something to watch tonight. Coming up next after us, the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta, Kevin Ingram recapping a big series victory for the Vandy boys against Tennessee. That'll do it for us. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason will be back from 3 to 6 tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you then.
Be loved. Love your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Monday. Peace.